Hey yo, hey yo, this your boy CG over at Homage Hip Hop Portrait, brought to you by NWT Entertainment. And you know what it is, we like to put appreciation in hip hop, but we also want to put appreciation in broadcasting. So without further ado, I want to give a shout out to my boy over at the Weed Feed Podcast. That's the Weed Feed Podcast. It's not completely about weed. It's actually talking about the business side of weed. So go ahead, boy, get your money. We see you over at the Weed Feed Podcast. This your boy CG over at Homage Hip Hop Poetry. Thank you. We see you. And guess what? We appreciate you. Keep doing your thing.
Hey, people. Just wanted to get back out there with you. I'm trying to stay with you as much as I can, especially in light of the, there's just a lot of trending kind of things that are happening with people. And some of those things are things that we really need to take note of, be mindful of. And many of us, moving around out in the world, really need to be aware. Okay, we really need to be aware of police. Right now, policing in America is something that, I mean, black people are getting killed over traffic stops. I mean, come on now. You know, since when do people get murdered, you know, based on traffic stops? There's a lot of human rights, and human rights are just simply moral principles or norms that simply describe certain standards of human behavior. And right now, those standards of human behavior are taken way out of proportion when it comes to the police and interactions with black people. And rather than complain about something, what I try to do is look up what could possibly be the causes? What could possibly be the validation? What could possibly be the association? Why is this happening to particularly black people? And so, you know, when you bring up, well, you know, the white police officers are harassing black people, are killing black people in record numbers, the first thing some whites will say is, well, you know, you have an awful lot of black people killing black people, too. Well, you know, when you're raised, when you're brought here from another country and all your dignity is taken away from you, and you know, whites should try to empathize on this point of view. All your dignity is taken away from you, raped in front of your wife is raped in front of you, your children are raped in front of you. Your children are whipped and beaten in front of you. You're whipped and beaten in front of your family, and you whipped and you beaten down to, you know, literally sucking someone else's dick. You know what I mean? Whether you like it or not, or saying yes, sir, and yes, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am to somebody that you don't particularly care to be with. And I hate to say it in those kind of uncertain terms, but that's simply what it amounted to. Blacks were basically beaten out of their culture. They was beaten from whom they were, from whence they came. And they were basically taught to be cowboys and taught to be white folks. They wasn't taught how to be their own. It was taught to be like their slave masters. And so this is something that blacks have had to deal with for years. And so it's relative to today when you got more black people, particularly black males, that are being killed by white police officers on a regular basis. And the latest guy that got shot and he's disabled, a young man, was simply disabled, shot 7 times at close range. I mean, you know, anytime you got people, I mean, look at some of the policemen. Look at the condition of the president. Look at the condition that it in. You know, if you look at those people, those two police officers who just recently shot this kid 7 times, both of them. I mean, look at their stomachs. I mean, they're both sitting up there with guts hanging out, you know, over their belts. And if you look at some of them, they can't hardly run. They'd rather shoot you than chase after you, because they know you know, and that's why you like, you know, they try to always cite black people as doing something wrong. And that is a justification for shooting you or killing you, you know. And this latest kid that they shot, just look at the guts on them boys. Look at the guts on the president. So that kind of gives you an idea of what you're dealing with. And back in the day, they didn't blink an eye. They would shoot you just like shooting a fly on a fence post. And a lot of black folks got shot and killed. And, you know, it just be the slave owners' loss, you know. But the realization is that at one point in time, early in the 1700s, there were indentured slaves, whites and blacks. And it became a known fact that, you know, labor, you know, was something that cost. And in order for you to produce at mass and mass production, you would have to have like cotton and different things like that plants and different tobacco, cotton, different resources and, you know, crops and different stuff like that. In order to do that, you'd have to have massive people working for you and not paying them anything. And you can see easily how an industry can begin if you got a labor force that doesn't cost you anything. So blacks for a long time, like I said, provided labor for a lot of the barons in the United States. They provided the basic labor. The whites took advantage of when blacks were freed, so-called freed, a lot of them got arrested for small, minor things and put in jails to do the bootlicking. I mean, do all the crops and do all the planting and stuff like that for people. So that was something that, you know, they literally got labor again for free. Of course, they arrested them for vagrancy and stuff like that and threw them into jails and got so many black people in there. Like I said, they just use them as, you know, to farm the land, do whatever they need to do, build the roads. Black people did build the railroads. They used prisoners, you know, for that kind of stuff. And they had blacks that they would arrest them for a little bit of nothing. And that's the kind of things that they had them doing after slavery. Pretty much just, you know, building up their roads, you know, doing their farm, doing their baling their hay. Anytime, you know, some local farmer, needed things done, you know, around his farm. He didn't have the hands. That's what they would use prisoners for. Well, one of the things that I couldn't understand, and I kind of did some looking around on it, there's something that they call slave catchers. I mean, they had like fugitive slave catchers and hound dogs. They had all kinds of, you know, you can picture back in the day, you know, slaves was wide open prey for hate and racism. And like I said, they had slave catchers. That's what they used to call them. Slave catchers, they often used like tracking dogs to sniff out their targets. They were called Negro dogs is what they were called. But the slave catchers were specialists at tracking down people, whether they had to track a person. And, you know, the slave master took their slaving personally. And there was a lot of laws that was passed back in the day that enabled the masters to basically take advantage of slaves, that if they did escape, that they could go and catch them and return them. Now, of course, the laws eventually did change, but this is where these slave masters come in, okay? This is where these slave catchers come in. They wanted to ensure the slave masters' investment. And so they would basically go what they call fugitive slave laws. I mean, was enacted way back in 1793. I mean, this is stuff that happened right here in the United States of America. And some people give a damn and some people don't. I care because it affects me as a black man right today. And you see all these black men when they have interactions with the police, it's because police basically been the ones that was designated to enforce the law. That's what they are, law enforcement. And they enforce the law under any given circumstance, especially when it comes to black people. And they've been doing it for years. And it used to be that fugitive, you'd get more money for a fugitive than you would a runaway slave. Runaway slaves used to get caught by the local posses, you know, around town. Ku Klux Klan, people like that, gangs, you know, would catch black folks, you know, running away. But the fugitive slaves are the ones that actually escaped. And they had laws that basically said that slave catchers could catch them and return them for $500 a piece back to the slave masters. And this is something that you had going on. I mean, without laws, there was no consistency. People really got away with a lot of mistreatment of slaves. And this went around and around and around for a long time. But this is early as 1643, for my research shows that refugee slaves existed in America as early as 1643. And police come in effect around that time, but they were policing more or less like the whites that was coming in America up north from European countries were a little bit hardened and had different attitudes. And, you know, all these whites that were coming in from different European countries in the north was under scrutiny. And in the south, the blacks that were being set free, according to Lincoln and this and that and other, didn't have no places to go. They started all the sharecropping. And then, you know, one of the greatest fears is that, you know, these runaway slaves were going to do something to white folks. And, you know, because they had John Brown and different slave people that was revolting against slavery. But like I said, the law imposed a $500 penalty on anyone that would intervene in doing anything with a slave. They made it easier for these slave catchers to be able to go and retrieve the property. That's what black people was considered of, because back then black people weren't considered even human, only 3/5 human. That's the way that they had to justify them being likened to cattle or chattel. They couldn't be human beings, so they had to say that legislate that there was only 3/5 human. And that's how they justify slavery. That's how they justify whipping and beating down people in the street. And sometimes, you know, you see it in the movie Roots by Alex Haley, how they cut off the foot of some black people who did run. This is what they would do. They would some kind of way take one of their limbs and, you know, viciously, you know, cut it off or do whatever they could to keep black people from, you know, getting away. They didn't want them to try to escape, because if one black person escaped, it was a bad example for all the other slaves. And so you had a lot of things that happened to black people from the 16. Well, I mean, like I said, initially there was indentured slave, but they found out that, you know, they could basically sell and use black people in the way that they did. And they did. And they had a bounty hunters that would literally kidnap black people from one state if they ran off from another state. I mean, it was horrible the way they treated black people. Fugitive slaves was big money. And I mean, the slave catchers would do everything they could to ensure slave masters that they would get their slaves back to them. And you had some slave you had some slave catchers that were good. And this is how the police virtually got started, what they call the slave catchers. So today in modern times, if you take the Fugitive Slave Act, if you take slavery back in the time when the slave catchers was going legally from one state and bringing slaves back, and you should see the way that they used to chain them up, you know, by the necks and stuff, one adult to another with a kid connected. It was just horrible. And I did some pictures out there on Facebook. And believe it or not, since I've been doing all this research about beginning of, the origin of policing, Facebook, I put a comment out there about white trash and, you know, nothing profane. But for some reason, I'm putting all these posts and research out there about policing in America and how black people are getting affected and, you know, been getting killed and being treated, you know, disrespectfully ever since these slave catchers, which were the police, first started off a long time ago. And there's a lot of other information I'm going to be sharing to my page and also here on my profile here, because it's I'm telling you, it's things that people need to know. And you'd be surprised at the things that people take for granted. I mean, so we go all the way back to Fugitive Slave Catcher and the hound dog days, when they used to have dogs, savage dogs, slave dogs running after black people, chasing them down. The Fugitive Slave Law of 1850. I mean, they could relatively do whatever they wanted to do to black people. I mean, you could be caught up in Minneapolis and brought all the way back down to Florida or Georgia. You know, it was that bad. And this is this happened right here in America. So what I'm trying to show is that policing and dogs and police dogs all rooted with slave catching. You see the police dogs that they have now, hound dogs. Back in the day, the slave catcher had hound dogs that used to basically go after black people, chase down, they smell, whatever it was, and they hound them. You know, they hound them down. You know, that they was experts at that. This is the way policing in America began. Now, if you look at why black people are getting killed today, because this is the kind of policing in America, this is the kind of rights that they had to treat black people any way they wanted to. And this is something that is getting to a point where it's out of hand. I mean, you know, we need to defund the police. We need to basically make them accountable, just like any other person. I don't care. The police have a job to do just like anybody else. And they need to be able to do their job and do it lawfully and treat everybody respectfully. And if they can't treat people respectfully, they can't handle the job, then they need to be fired. And they need to be held accountable when they kill somebody, just like anybody black is accountable for when they kill somebody. Anybody white is held accountable, generally, if they ain't got a whole lot of money. But people need to be, especially the police, if they're supposed to enforce the law and be about the law, then they should be accountable to the law. The same laws that they enforce, they should be accountable for. And there should be no one that should be above the law. And just because police have the job of enforcement, it doesn't give them the right, or anyone the right, to go, I messed up, you know, and I shot somebody, I murdered somebody. No, murder is a sin. And that shouldn't be accepted under any circumstances. If it's not going to be a mistake for someone else to kill somebody, it can't be a mistake for the police, who is aware of weaponry, who is aware of how his weapon or her weapon can hurt someone else. They're aware of that when they go to the scene, when they go to a crime scene. And I think that police, in my opinion, if you really want to get down to policing in America, take their guns, take their clubs, and make them put them in their trunks, and that they approach all scenes without their guns and their sticks. Unless there's violence, obviously, that's the only time they should be able to get their guns and their sticks. And they should always have on their body cams at all times. But they should never, ever go to the scene with their sticks and their guns. Unless there's violence, that's the only time they should strap up. Otherwise, they should approach most people. If you look at most traffic stops with police, that's how the results in murder of black people. So most traffic stops, police shouldn't show up with no gun and no stick, two of them, and sometimes four of them with two police cars. I mean, you got there, what, four sticks and four guns, you know, I mean, it just doesn't make sense. And I think the police, like I said, are well over, I mean, you go back to Andy Griffin days when they had Barney Fife and Andy Griffin. They were peace officers then. They wasn't police officers. Like I said, they became police officers because they were policing and hunting down black people, slaves that were running away, which had no, I mean, who wouldn't run away from slavery? But back in the day, white folks didn't see it that way. So policing began with police basically chasing down slaves. They were called slave catchers. So this is how police began. And, you know, Britain had an example of it. Of course, America, you understand, won their freedom from Great Britain in the War of 1812. That's how they won their freedom. And if you looked at back in American history, America was known as miscreants, thugs, a bunch of ruthless, no goods. That's the way the British characterized them back in the day, you know, in the War of 1812. If you look and back in history, that's what they was called, miscreants. And subsequently, the black people that they ultimately enslaved, well, first, you know, they had to fight with the Native Americans. And you know how they massacred and murdered the Native Americans. There ain't no sense in us, you know, I mean, if anybody don't know that from cowboys and Indians and just simply knowing Native Americans, I know a lot of Native Americans when I grew up. But as I became adult, I see very few of them because the whites basically made all the Native Americans go to reservations and had some treaties with them. You know, whites have done a lot of things to all people of color. And they got an act that happened that's called Ishinishi, where they had, they herded up all the Japanese in San Francisco and all different places, and they herded them up in buses and different things, and they got them out of the United States. That's a real thing that happened right along the time of Pearl Harbor, because whites were so scared of Japanese, you know, in the Pearl Harbor thing. They herded them all up in camps in America, right here, herded up the Japanese in camps and sent them back to Japan. So blacks should always be aware that they can't be sent back to Africa. So that's the reason why they don't have no patience with black people. You can't be sent back. You can't be sent back like other people. So they don't have no patience with you. They will kill you in a heartbeat. And they have no mercy with you. And they've been showing you ever since slave catching day that black people don't mean shit to them. And in slave catching days, you didn't mean shit to them. But all they did was track you down, no matter how they track you down. If they had to cut the heel of your foot off or whatever they had to do to keep you from running the next time. It shows you in the movie Roots, Alex Haley movie Roots, Kuta Kinte, how he got basically severed his foot physically just to keep him from running away from the master. So today, when we talk about why black people are getting killed and gunned down brutally by white police officers, we want to know your history. If failure to know your history, you basically don't understand your future. And so this is what's going on right now in America. If you look, you go back in history, you'll see the slave catchers and had dogs that used to chase and run after the black people, the slaves, and run them down. Not try to kill them, but just running them down. It was good at catching black people, fugitive black people. Fugitive had more money than runaways. So I just want you guys to know, when you see black people getting murdered and slaughtered by white police officers, this ain't something that is new. And just think about all them boys up there in Gary, in Indiana, where they had a brother up there that white folks was talking about trying to hang, and some other good white folks intervened. Not all white folks, I'm not saying, when I say white folks, please don't take that personal. I'm just saying white, this is something to happen. You look it up. Black man was white attempted to hang a black man in Indiana. And this ain't happened but 2 months ago in July, trying to hang a black man. Some other whites intervened, but they was getting ready to lynch him. So I'm saying that lynching has never, ever been ruled a crime. And, you know, a lot of crimes against black people that was done by Klansmen or white supremacists and stuff like that. Why haven't they outlawed those kinds of things? Why haven't they outlawed the Klan? They outlawed the Black Panthers. They shot Black Panthers like multiple times and killed them, all of them, under Edgar Hoover, FBI. Why haven't they did that with white supremacists? Why haven't they abolished hanging, lynching? Why? You know how many blacks have been lynched versus whites? You know how many, like I said, they just try to kill a black man. So I'm telling you, police and relationships with police. I've had good relationships with police. I'm not trying to put police down and this and that and other. I'm not trying to, you know, say nothing. I'm just saying that police are out of control. When I was a kid growing up in Omaha, Nebraska, we went to police camps with police just so black people could grow up with the attitude that police was better than what they were portrayed when I was coming up, because black men were getting killed, hung in a jail cell at the police station after they got apprehended. You can go back in the record and check this. It's all real. Black people and white police officers, this is something that's going on a regular basis, and it's getting out of hand. Some blacks don't even care. You know what I mean? Some blacks, you know what I mean, they basically don't even care until something happens to a family member of theirs. But the one thing that I am concerned about as a black man is why black people as a group are getting killed. Well, if you want to know, go back and look up slave catching, slavery, and dogs in the antebellum South. So this is kind of like where it started, where, you know, slaves and basically sniffing dogs, slavery and dogs in the antebellum South. They trained dogs to sniff out black people. That's how bad it was. And I mean, this place that we live in now, I mean, even I'm somewhat sometimes ashamed when I live place and I go, man, you know, this is how they used to chase down black people, you know, and wound them, you know, and maim them, you know, just to get them back to their slave masters, who slavery was in the most inefficient in that it was utilizing human beings, most inefficient way for labor that whites came up with. But they did do that. They did take advantage of black people in that way. And I mean, there used to be papers in the newspapers every day that black people had escaped, and they have ads in the paper, just like want ads, you know, black, yellowish black man escape, and, you know, half his ears cut off. You know, that's kind of descriptions that they would have in the newspaper and stuff. I mean, it's horrible. You go back and you look up history, and you'll see all kinds of things. It gives you the proof of why the slave catchers, modern day police officers, the relationship that they have with black people, why they shoot black people in a drop of a blood. You know, drop of blood, fall to the ground. Before a drop falls to the ground, you're a dead man. So you have to be cautious in your actions with the police these days. They pulling people over for minor traffic, and it ends up being homicide. So I would say that clearly, like I said, this is how police got started. through the slave catchers and their scent dogs, they used to call them. And they used to have some vicious dogs they call them the nigger dogs. And they used to chase brothers down, and they get maimed in some kind of way, taken back to their slave masters, $500 per slave, you know, that was a fugitive slave. And there was runaway and there was fugitive slave. Runaway slaves, they didn't hardly get that far. The fugitive slaves are slaves that actually escaped from one state and, you know, maybe made it up north. And they had an underground railroad and all kinds of things. Police would try to, you know, tap into that and catch slaves. You know what I mean? They were...